Thank you for allowing me to come this morning. I am actually a Floridian.
Through her, and I encourage you to be a part and partner with her in ministry. And there's many different ways you can do that. She has a display at the back, and if make sure you pick up a prayer card. Okay, put this prayer card on your refrigerator because I know that you visit your refrigerator every day, right? And when you see it, make sure that you pray for her. You can keep in contact. One of the great things about our world is it's become quite flat. By that I mean that we can access and we can encourage people on the other side of the world as if they were next door. In fact, I've been in the Philippines when texting was big in the Philippines before it was big here. And some friends of mine were sitting in a circle texting each other in the Philippines. They were texting just across the room. How many of you have been in the room with somebody and you've texted them right in the room and they're sitting right next to you, right? Well, you can do those types of things through email and blogs and find out what's going on in Becca's life and in her ministry by making contact. I was on her website this morning. It's great. It has a lot of pictures. She's been showing as she's been going through her itineration in Florida and getting to reconnect with some family of generational, so a Cuban restaurant. Right, a Cuban sandwich. You have to go to the blog to find it. That's beccajohns.wordpress.com. You can find that address on here as well. So I just encourage you to be a part of that and to be a part and kind of adopt her into your heart to be our missionary. Okay? Cool? I got a question for you today. Have you ever been intimidated? Who said no? You've never been intimidated. How many think he's telling the truth? We get intimidated. What happens when you get intimidated? It's fear. What happens? You feel small? Okay. Get paralyzed a little bit? Yeah. You know, when somebody gets scared, people respond different ways. I got to tell you the truth. I enjoy startling people, like hiding around the corner. Somebody walks around jumping out at them. How many you say, Pastor, I can see you doing that. I can understand that. And it's funny when somebody gets startled, they get intimidated, there's many different responses, right? Some will just like, and not move. They'll just be paralyzed. Some will smack you. You got to be careful, right? And some will just turn and run. You know, there's all those types of things. But God wants us to walk through and not live a life where we're intimidated. Too many times as Christians, we're intimidated and we find ourselves either lashing out. We find ourselves paralyzed, or we might find ourselves running from the situation. But our God, our Jesus Christ, is one who gives us power and strength to overcome any situation that we would come into contact with. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says that we should be self-controlled and alert. It says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, you'll note that that text doesn't say that the enemy is a lion. It says that he is like one. He puts on the facade of being a big man-eater. You know what I'm saying? He casts out this image, and he's looking for someone whom he can intimidate. He's looking for someone whom he can to devour. I don't want to be the type of person that can be devoured by fear. Amen? I want to be the kind of person who can be alert, be aware of what God's doing, have control in my heart of the Spirit of God speaking to me and through me. This series that we've been in is a great, exciting series. We'll probably finish it in about 3 years. And we're going through the book of Acts, and the heart behind this is that I am amazed how after Jesus rose from the dead, after he ascended to the heavens, how he continued to literally make contact with people. How Jesus continued to show up and he continued the relationship that they had. For them, it was not a surprise at any time for the earlier believers for Jesus to literally show up. Now, I got to tell you, I get frustrated when people use the word literally and they don't mean it. You know, I could literally eat a cow. They don't mean it, right? I might be able to put down a steak. I might be able to put down a hamburger, but I can't eat a whole cow. Some of you are looking at it like, well, you've tried, I can tell. What they mean many times is I figuratively could eat a cow. So when I use the word literally, I mean literally. They literally believed that Jesus Christ would show up in person, not as a concept, but the reality of Jesus literally showing up. Then as I read through the book of Acts and I get to the end of it, I find that that book doesn't end. It doesn't have a nice, tidy ending. The connotation, the idea is that this continues even to today. That Jesus can show up literally in our lives. That he can invade any time, any circumstance, any place. That Jesus himself can show up through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I'm saying big words here. They're little words, but I know exactly what I'm saying. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. Because my goal and my heart is that you would have a heart to move from Jesus being just a concept to Jesus being a living reality that invades time and space in this day. There are many times that we just live out our lives with Jesus being a concept. And because of that, we've denied the power of the gospel. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus shows up and he brings with him power to heal and power to save. Last week we talked about the man who was healed at the Gate Beautiful. Remember that? Acts chapter 3, the lame man who had been, he had been lame for 40 years. And the Bible tells us, I was rereading that this week, the Bible tells us that he was healed as Peter and John were on their way to prayer. That kind of jumped out at me. I mean, I expect God to do great things after I pray. But Jesus showed up when they were on their way to pray. That's cool. Hallelujah. Amen? Let me tell you this. Yes, God shows up when we pray. But God also shows up just because he's God. Hello? We need to see that God is ready to break out at all moments. Jesus is ready to do miracles at all times. We have so limited him to our own ability to be able to receive him. He's bigger than your faith. Hello? Jesus is bigger than your faith. Yes, faith unlocks things, but even if your faith was weak, Jesus can still show up. Lord, help me in my unbelief. Have you ever heard that? Jesus wants to show up. Jesus wants to do miracles. So as Peter and John were on their way, they encountered this man, and he asked for something, for some money. They said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. Let me tell you about the plan of salvation. Is that what they said? Let me give you a good teaching here. No, they didn't say that. They said, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. What did they give him? They gave him Jesus. Said, this is who we have. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. They grabbed him by the arm, and when they began to pick him up, he was healed, and he goes running through the temple, praising God. They began to gather, and Peter and John used this as an opportunity. The man was there, and they began to preach and say, Jesus has shown up. Let me explain to you what's happened. This Jesus, whom you killed, he's the same one who rose this man into the place where he could walk again. He's the one who brought liberty to this man. this Jesus is alive. And if you look at what Peter preached there, he preached a very radical concept that Jesus is alive and he's living and he'll bring times of refreshing. The Bible says, you look in there, we'll put the scripture up in Acts chapter 3. It says that the people literally came running to hear the message. That they came running to hear the truth and what Jesus and what Peter was preaching because they had seen about it. How many think that would be a cool place for the church to be? Jesus has shown up, and so people are coming running to hear instead of dragging in. Amen? That's what happens when Jesus shows up. So John took advantage, and he preached the gospel. Now, in Acts chapter 4, we're going to find that there was some people that didn't like that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, we read that the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was the evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Let me give you a little bit more perspective here of who this opposition was with, and you'll understand a little bit more why this was major. It was the chief guard of the temple, right? Some of the priests, and specifically the Sadducees. Okay? Now, the Sadducees, I always remember about the Sadducees. There were many different types of people in the Jewish time at that in Jerusalem at that time. They had different beliefs. Just like when you say a Christian today, you might have a wide variety of where people are coming from, right? You might even be able to say your family. How many of you know a lot of people in your family think different? Okay? So there were a lot of different bents on what it meant to be a Jew even at that time. The Sadducees were the group that had grown out of the Hasmonean Empire. That was during, in between Malachi and Matthew, in that 400 or 500 years, there was a time when Palestine, or Israel, grew to independent strength. It was during the Maccabean time. And during that time, the high priest was the ruler of Israel. Okay? And that group, the Hasmoneans, they fostered the Sadducees. The Sadducees go back to that connection. And they were also a minority, but they were in power. Okay, they were well connected. And they were also sad for a couple reasons. You know, one of them is they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So they were sad, you see. That's how I always remember them. Okay, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believed basically that you live life. And so, now think about it. These people still believed in God. They still believed in the law. They still believed that God was using Israel and wanted to use Israel. But it was only for the temporary time that man is on earth. They had taken the concepts of God being living and active to the place where it was not that at all. Instead, he was a concept. He was an ideology. They certainly didn't believe in miracles. They certainly didn't believe in actually the Messiah as even the Pharisees would. Because to them, the idea of the Messiah, the one who would come and deliver them, that was more of a concept, not an actual person. Now think about that. Peter stands up and says, this Jesus, the Messiah, who's healed this man, has risen from the dead. Deal with it. They didn't want to deal with it. See what I'm saying? It went against everything. Now, I want you to fast forward into our mind and see if in our time and see if we can do it. How many of you know, and maybe honestly, you might be here as you think about it and you challenge it, that for you, Christianity is a religion. For you, it's a concept. Even the idea of Jesus, you love the thought of Jesus. You love the idea of his teachings. But do you really know that he's alive? And he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And there is salvation in no other name except him? To make that leap is a huge leap. There are many people that they fill the churches, and I want you to know that the church is in danger in this day of getting to the place where we've reduced Jesus to concepts, where we've reduced him to ideas that can help add value to our lives, instead of coming into contact with the risen Jesus Christ that's alive, that demands, the fact that he's alive demands that we must call him Lord, that we must say, you are in charge. That's a huge concept. And I want you to know that these people were very threatened by that whole teaching and that whole idea. So they threw Peter and John in prison overnight because it was getting too late. What happened the next day? The rulers and elders of the law met in Jerusalem. So overnight, they were able to bring together the Sanhedrin, okay, which included all the Sadducees, the chief priest, all of those elders and teachers. They met together, and Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or name do you do this? What a great question. Oh, let me tell you. Then Peter, and what's the word there? Then Peter, filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to preach on this, but in a way I've been preaching this thought for the last 2 years. The only way that you can adequately and fully present Jesus is if you're filled with the Spirit. The more that I'm filled with the Spirit, the more I reveal who he is. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, to fill our lives, to fill our mouths, so that we can give adequate witness. The Holy Spirit said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the kindness shown to a cripple and ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is. Let me just stop for a moment there. It says he is, not he was, not he shall be. It's not, let me give you this concept. It's saying there's a person, and he is alive and active, and he is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which men must be saved. That's what Rebecca was, it was revealed to her in her heart and in her spirit in a great way when she went to that place, that shrine. Saw them calling out to voiceless, faceless gods that couldn't speak, that weren't alive. There's something in her that says, you know what, that's not going to work, because salvation is found in no other name. It's found only as we recognize and we interact with a living, active Jesus Christ. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Oh, that that would be said about Matt Larson. They'd say, man, he's been with Jesus. He may not be that smart, just an ordinary guy, but I can tell he's been with Jesus. Goes on to say, but since they could see that the man who had been healed standing with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with this man? These men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. And they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They're saying, we cannot deny the reality of Jesus. Oh, that that would burn in us. That we could not deny the reality of Jesus. We are so intimidated in our culture to back off because they say, you actually believe that Jesus is alive and he does miracles? Yes, I do. I actually believe it. I cannot deny it. Why? Because I spoke to him. I live in him and he lives in me. He makes a difference in my life. And I've seen him make a difference in so many others. After further threats, they let him go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what was happening, or what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Now, there's actually two times, we're going to read in a couple weeks, about another time that Peter and John were taken to prison for preaching. That time they were beaten. This time they weren't beaten. Probably the reason for that is in the law of the day, you had to give a warning if somebody was breaking the law. So here they served them notice and said, listen, if you continue to preach, there will be consequences. I can so relate to that. My dad was so consistent when he punished me or disciplined me. He would say, Matt, did I tell you? Yes. Did I warn you? Yes. Do you know what you get? Yes. Actually, he'd say, do you know what you've earned? It was very clear. And that was the law of my house. Okay? It was also the law of the temple that they would have to warn them. So they warned him and they said, they probably were ignorant of this, but now they are not ignorant. Now, so here they leave, and they go back, and they begin to meet with the other people. How would you respond, having seen and heard what they had in that time? I mean, here they had seen a lame man healed. Thousands were added to the church. I'd be excited, right? And then they brought, and they said the right things. They handled themselves well in front of the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, didn't they? I'm proud of them, you know? Good job. Way to stand up. When they get back, though, you kind of can tell that they're a little intimidated. Have you ever done something in life, and it's like it turned out great and was awesome, and you look back on it and go, what was I thinking? You know, like skydiving or something like that. You jump out of the plane and you live to tell about it, and you look, then you go, what was I thinking? I think that that might have been in their heart. Like, what's going on? And so what did they do? On the release, verse 23, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had told them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against the Holy One. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant David, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Why did God need to consider their threats? That was their prayer. God, consider their threats. Was God threatened? No. They're saying, look, God, did you hear that? Kind of got me freaked out here a little bit. I'm threatened. Did you hear that? God, what are you going to do about it? When I was a little boy, about 5 years old, I was threatened by a young man that was in college. Now, you might have troubles believing this, but I've kind of had a smart mouth all my life. And so I must have, I don't remember exactly, but just knowing my character and my mouth, I must have smarted off to him, and he threatened me. So I went home, and I got my dad, and I got this other young adult that went with me. Went back and talked to this guy. And he said, he threw a stick at me. Now, this guy was probably like from me to Caesar. I've got a wicked arm. Trust me, I probably could have taken him out. No, I didn't. But I did throw a stick, but it went maybe 5-10 feet. And he's, you know, a good 40-50 feet away. He threatened me. I felt threatened. What did I do? I went and got the big guy. And I brought the big guy. For you that haven't met my dad goes over 300 pounds. I always love it when I say that. I said that. And he goes, that's exactly what that guy said. Brought my dad, and I said, Dad, consider his threats. And my dad said, you better not ever touch my son. That is what we need to do. And I want you to know that there is the threat, again, is that we will back off of the reality of Jesus being alive, the reality of Jesus being the Lord, the reality that it's all about Jesus in person, in reality. So they prayed that they would do what? That they would be able to speak the word of God with boldness. Here's the truth. If you began to tell people that Jesus is alive and can do miracles, you know what they're going to expect? Miracles. Do you know why a lot of people don't speak that Jesus is alive and does miracles? Because people will begin to expect miracles. They'll expect him to show up. We need to have an assurance and the authority that comes through the Holy Spirit that we can boldly pronounce that Jesus will show up. You say, well, what if he doesn't? Well, he will. He will. He'll begin to be real in people's lives. And we've got to stand on that. So that's why we have to be filled with the Spirit. Because it is so easy to want to back down from believing God to do amazing miracles and to really change this world and to really change our neighborhood, to really change our family. That takes some major boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your Holy Spirit. What did they pray? First of all, they prayed that they would be able to speak the word of God with great boldness. Secondly, they prayed that God would stretch his hand forth. Now, as I thought of that, if you look back to Acts 3 at the beginning, when Peter healed that man, Peter and John healed that man, he stretched forth his hand and grabbed that guy and began to pull him up. Now, I want you to get this picture. I think Peter is looking at this and said, just as we stretch our hand forward, God, will you stretch your hand through me? Just will you stretch your hand through me? You know, so many times we withdraw our hands. We say, I'm just not going to get involved. But if we'll stretch forth our hand and believe God to stretch his hand through us, we'll see those miracles. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing God for. My prayer is that you will not back away, that you will not be intimidated, and that you'll be willing to touch the hurting of this world, that you'll be willing to touch the world that God himself would reach through you, and that he'll provide miracles to this world. I believe that the miracles of God will flow, but I believe God wants us to reach forth our hand, to become involved. Now look at this. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This last week we were in Orlando for our district council, and the mission service, a guy by the name of Reinhard Bonnke was there and shared with us. And over the last 10 years in Africa, they showed videos, and over the last 10 years in Africa, get this, hang on to your seat, 55 million people have come to Jesus. And we're not just talking them counting their faces. We're talking they have filled out decision cards and said, I'm turning to Jesus. 55 million. They showed videos where millions of people came to Christ at one setting. Be 1.3 million, 1.9 million. The video showed just, it was like you were looking out at an ocean of humanity giving their life to Jesus. That's pretty cool. That's amazing. God is doing great things, and he loves the whole world just like he loves Africa. Reinhard Bonnke was talking about being filled with the Spirit, and he was making notice that in Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Spirit, they were in the upper room. It says that they heard the sound like a rushing mighty wind. How many of you have been through a hurricane? Raise your hand if you've been through a hurricane. Okay, I haven't. Been through a couple tornadoes, but I think the difference between a hurricane and a tornado is hurricanes last longer. Okay? You've heard it whip through the wind through the buildings, right? We've designed this building with special precautions to be able to withstand winds that only South Florida gets. Now, here I'm reading that when they prayed, the place that they were was shaken. How many of you have ever been through an earthquake? Okay. In Japan, they design their buildings with special care so that it will be able to withstand hurricanes. Earthquakes. I saw videos of people that were up in a high rise in Tokyo when the earthquake hit. Can you imagine being up in a high rise? They actually felt safer there because their design was so good. So I'm just thinking, my goodness, all Pentecostal churches better design their buildings pretty good, because you could have the rushing mighty wind and you could have the shaking going forth. You know what I'm saying? And the fire, not to mention the fire. We better take a look at this. Now, I believe that the place that they were was literally shaken. That they felt a tremor come through. That's amazing. But here's another thing I want you to see that's so important. It says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was filled with the Holy Spirit? All of them. and spoke the word of God boldly. So who spoke the word of God boldly? All of them. Nobody was left out. They prayed and God revealed himself as the reality, and they were filled with the Spirit. And the way they knew they were filled with the Spirit is they spoke the word of God boldly. Now, okay, I've got to think this through a minute. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Spirit. A lot of the same people, I think. Why are they getting filled with the Spirit again? This tells us something big. It's not a little dabble do you one time, but we need to be filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis so that we can speak the word of God boldly. Ephesians says this. It says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek would bear this out, say that you should be being filled with the Spirit. You should constantly be filled with the Spirit. And the example that it gives, it likens it to being drunk. Now, I have never been drunk. I don't need to be. I'm this way naturally. Okay? I've never been drunk. I've actually never drank. And I guess I did. Since I moved to Florida, I had a sangria once. Full disclosure here, okay? It was Margot. She said, here, try this. He goes, I just threw Margot under the bus like Adam did Dave. Anyway, but I've never been drunk. So I'm not an expert on this. But I think that the way you sober up is that you quit drinking. Am I right, though? Okay, so if you quit drinking, you don't stay drunk, right?
Right.
Okay. If you quit drinking, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to sober up. And I think the reason why our witness is not very bold sometimes is because we've sobered up. We've quit taking in the reality of Jesus and the new wine that he offers. So we walk around sober. And when we get sober, we think so clearly. And when we think so clearly, then we take Jesus and we relegate him to a concept rather than the one who would actually heal people, the one who would actually raise from the dead, the one who's coming again. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's allow him to fill us up more and more and more so that we can boldly proclaim the word. Let me ask you honestly, have you ever been intimidated to back off of the reality of Jesus? Sometimes we back off of the reality of Jesus working in our lives because of our personal failures. You ever failed God and said, God just can't do it anymore? Maybe you've been believing for a miracle and then you go and you mess up and it's like, oh man, I know God still loves me and I'm still saved, but my miracle's not going to happen. You have just really messed the whole idea up. God wasn't going to do a miracle because you're so great. He was going to do a miracle because he's so great. Your successes or your failures do not change God. Proclaim him, not you. Sometimes we back off of the reality of Jesus because we rely on our own abilities and they are found wanting. Have you ever said, man, I just don't know. Can I really tell people about Jesus? What if I mess it up? How many of you have honestly said, man, I don't know if I want to witness because I just don't want to mess it up? Come on. How many have done that? There's a lot of you still lying. We say, oh, I'm just going to mess up. No. You know what? I found that God empowers those that go, and he doesn't empower them until they go. But as they're going, he brings that. These signs and wonders will accompany those. They come along with. They don't go before, and they come along with. So you have to go if you want to see that empowerment, if you want to see that happen. Some people are intimidated and back off of the reality of Jesus because they haven't seen Jesus show up like they expected him to. You know, the one thing after 46 years of life that I know is God always shows up, but he never shows up like I thought he would. He does exceedingly abundantly more than I could ask or think. But he always shows up. Our faith is in not in how he shows up, but that he will show up. That's why, you know, I encourage people to pray that they'd be filled with the Spirit and say, Lord, come into my life and fill me with your Spirit, whatever that looks like. So many times we've backed off because we've seen the way that other people have experienced the Lord and we're saying, I'm not sure if I like that. And I'm with you, okay? Just so you know, if anybody ever brings out a snake in this building, I'm the first one out of here. Okay? How many are with me now? You know, it's like some of that stuff, I'm just not there, baby. I'm just not there. But I know God really shows up. And I know that he wants to show up in this day. So I pray, God, show up whatever that looks like. And you know what? I know that God wants to show up at New Hope Church in this day, in this hour, and he is doing it. Some of you don't even know why you're here. You've been drawn here. But God is going to show up, and it's going to be unique and different to this culture, this day, this hour. Let's let him be who he will. Just because he doesn't show up in the way you think he does, doesn't mean he's not going to show up. But let's invite him. Let's not back off of the reality that Jesus will show up. Sometimes we back off the reality of Jesus because the truth is we don't want to give up control. That's what it was with those Sadducees. I mean, the very concept that they lived by was blown away by the reality of who Jesus was. And they would rather attack Jesus than give up control. That's what we do. Because if Jesus really shows up, the risen Lord, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, if he shows up, the only thing I can do is say, you're Lord and you're in control. And that takes effect in every part of my life. It takes part in my family. It takes part in my business. It takes part in my school. When God shows up, Jesus, you are Lord and you're in control and I'm not. Conceptually, we're okay with him being in control, but in reality, we hate to give up control. I'm here today to pray with you that you'll be filled with the Spirit and you'll be filled with boldness. You see, God has not given us a spirit of intimidation, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love, and of self-discipline, of sound mind. We don't need to back off as believers. We can stand up and say that the power of God is here, and he's alive, and he's active. You might say, well, Pastor Matt, you're really saying that Jesus is alive? Yes, I know exactly what I'm saying. You might say, well, have you ever seen him? I got to be honest, no, I haven't. I've never seen President Obama either. I know, but there's computer grade, they can do all sorts of things on TV. I mean, I've seen Lion King on the same screen that I saw President Obama. You're saying, oh man, that's a big stretch. Oh, you're going to tell me that President Obama's alive, that he's real. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is alive and real. And I stand upon the witness that Jesus is alive and real. I know that that is a huge step that I'm making. But I proudly proclaim just that I know, just like I know President Obama really is alive and he was born in America, I also... I had to go there, man. I also know that Jesus is alive. And he was born and laid in a manger. And he lived a life without sin. And he died on a cross for my salvation. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And he rose on the third day. And then he ascended, and now he lives forever at the right hand of the Father, where he lives to make intercession. And I know that he said that if he would go away, that he would send a comforter, and that when that comforter would come, that I would know that he is in the Father and I am in him. And so that's the reality that I know he's alive because the Holy Spirit dwells in me, confirming the reality of Jesus. I want to pray that you would receive that Spirit, that understanding, that fullness of God, and that Jesus would be revealed. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for sanctification. I thank you for all of the concepts behind you. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and you are active and you are real. And I proclaim that Jesus is alive today and that he changes everything. I pray that in your name, Lord, you would reveal Jesus to us. I pray, God, that you would fill us with the Spirit so that our lives would be a proclamation that Jesus is alive. Not just in concept, but in reality. I pray that Jesus would be alive and bring healings. I pray that Jesus would be alive and change families. I pray that Jesus would be alive and bring peace to this world. I pray that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you that it is about you. Lord, I pray, even as we speak, that you would give a grace and that you would give faith for people to lay down the concept of Jesus, to receive the reality of Jesus. With that, that means they're going to have to give you lordship. They're going to have to make you Lord. I pray that that big step, Lord, would be able to happen. Lord, I don't take it lightly. I know that's a huge intellectual step. I know it's a big leap, but God, it's reality. And so I pray that we would repent from the need to be in control, that we would repent from the idea that it's about us, that we would receive you in reality. Where your heads are bowed and your eyes are still closed, today you want to receive Jesus in reality, not just in concept. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to believe my theology. I'm asking you if you want Jesus to be your Lord, the truth of who he is. If you say this, yes, I want to, then you're saying, I'm going to give him control of my life. I believe he is who he said he is, and I believe he's going to show up. If you're ready to do that, maybe you've quote unquote been a Christian for a long time, but you have not lived the life to where Jesus is real and you're ready to accept him on face value of who he is. Maybe you just have never really thought of it. Today is your day. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day when Jesus wants to step into your life, but he comes by invitation. If you'd like to invite him into your life right now, I want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm inviting you. The reality of, yes, hands across this place, the reality of who you are. I'm inviting you into my life. I know this is a huge prayer that I'm praying. I'm not just saying I agree with a thought, but I am inviting the person of Jesus into my life. Anybody else? Yes, yeah. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. It's a huge thing. I know it's moving from religion to a reality of Jesus. It's huge. Anybody else want to say that's today? Maybe you need to think about it, but maybe you're ready today to make that invitation. Wait for just one more moment. Lord, you've seen these hands that went across the room, and Lord, people at different steps in their walk with you, but today, you, by your Spirit, are bringing the reality of who you are to them. So God, by the invitation of their uplifted hand, I pray that you would save them. I pray that you would free them. I pray that you would deliver them. And I pray that you, Lord Jesus, would step into their life in reality. You are Lord. They've declared, I put it out clearly, Lord, and they've declared that you are their Lord. I thank you that you are also their Savior. You're their Redeemer. God, I pray that those miracles would follow as they always do when you show up. You'd say, Pastor, as for me, I just want to receive the Holy Spirit so that I can speak the Word of God boldly. I've just been intimidated and I backed off that, and I want to be filled with the Spirit today. Anybody there, if you want that, just raise your hand. Just say that. I just want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be able to speak the Word of God boldly. Yeah. If you feel comfortable with it, just go ahead and keep your hands in the air. Hallelujah. Lord, we just receive of your Holy Spirit even now. Lord, I pray that you will come in and fill us again and again and again with the reality of who you are. Lord, I pray that you would give clarity to our words as we speak forth who you are and how amazing you are. Lord, let us not shrink back. We come against any spirits of intimidation, and we proclaim the power and the love of Jesus. We proclaim the free and sound mind of Jesus upon each of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would put on our lips your prayers, that you would put on our lips your gospel, that you would put on our lips your words of redemption, that you would put on our lips your words of deliverance, God, your words of healing, God. Let them be as we're filled with you. Holy Spirit, come in a great way. And Lord, as the pastor of this church, I just pray, and I want you to all, if you would just agree with me, stand up around. I'm just going to pray that God would fill us, that he would fill us with the Spirit again. If you're just in agreement with that, just lift your hands up and just invite him, even as we pray together. Lord, at this church, we receive your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would fill us. God, that you would shake us for your glory, for your kingdom to be advanced, God. We pray that it would be made manifest in every way, that we would love people even as you've loved. God, that we would see your deliverance. Lord, make New Hope a place that your Spirit is consistently dwelling and filling and helping the Jesus that we love so much be revealed. Lord, give us guidance. Give us guidance to know how we can be effective for you in this city that you've placed us. Let your words be in us. Lord, I pray that you would set up just those great divine encounters with you, surprise encounters where you show up and you do amazing things. Meet with us as we're going to prayer. Meet us with us in prayer. Meet us as we're leaving the place of prayer. Be with us, we pray, and fill us with your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.